Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. If you are a woman who struggles with boundaries, I don't think it's because you're weak. If I'm being honest, I think our entire culture has been confusing us for our whole lives about what's appropriate. Where can we draw lines? Where do we end and where do other people begin? What and who are we responsible for? And how open do our boundaries need to be seen as loving, kind, strong, independent, or available? We hear these varying messages overtly and subtly taught in secular culture, but also inside Christian culture. So whether you love to talk about boundaries, you have no idea how to say no, or even if you're unsure if this entire conversation is biblical, come on in. I won't be teaching you. I don't want to become one more voice telling you what to do, but I will share what I've learned. And together, I hope we can hold it all up to God to see what He might have to say to us. All right, pals, let's jump on in. We're talking about boundaries, saying no, and staying soft. So I thought maybe at the beginning of this episode, it might be really helpful if we kind of make at least one definition. What do we mean when we say boundary? So I'm going to actually just read the definition. I went to dictionary.com and I'm going to read the definition of a boundary. And I'm going to tell you that I find it really helpful for this conversation. So a boundary is a line or a limit where one thing ends and another begins. A boundary is something that indicates that line or limit. I think this is a really important part of our conversation that's going to come up later. A boundary is a limit that separates acceptable behavior from unacceptable behavior. So I don't know if you've read the very famous book, Boundaries, by Dr. Henry Cloud, but one of the most important messages that I learned from that book and that I've heard other people share from that book is that boundaries are not offensive, they're defensive. And this is one of the most helpful things to continually remember. I think especially maybe in like 2024 TikTok culture, we're all talking about boundaries and we don't really know what we mean. And they can start to sound a little offensive. And to be honest, I think some people's perspectives of boundaries or even the way they communicate their boundaries can feel offensive. But a true boundary in our life is not something that we're enacting to hurt someone else, to offend them, to come for them. A true boundary is defensive. And I think in the best case scenario, a true boundary is protecting something. It's protecting what is sacred, what is whole, what is beautiful. And so in a second, we're going to ask the question, like, did Jesus have boundaries and are they biblical? But I think even just looking at this good word from God's word that encourages us to guard our heart because it's the wellspring of life, that denotes we're going to need boundaries. To protect what is most sacred, we're going to need some boundaries. So I just want to throw out some examples of what we're talking about. I'm going to share some that might seem relatable, but also I'm going to imagine that all of us have maybe more casual boundaries that we need to set. Some of us might have deeper or more traumatic boundaries that we need to set, but let's just dive in. We might be talking about saying, hey, I as a human need blank hours of sleep. That's a boundary. That's knowing like this is something that I need to protect. This is a line or a limit for me. A boundary might be saying, I don't engage in blank kind of talk, whether that's negative body image talk or gossip, or, you know, I won't be around people or I won't listen to music that objectifies women. A boundary is honestly saying I need to keep blank amount of money in my bank account. This is a boundary I'm trying to teach my teenagers about how it's reasonable and responsible to make decisions to have a certain buffer in your bank account so that if you run out of gas or if you realize you need something, you don't have to immediately text me to bring you my debit card. I think saying I need a day off, I need a rest day is a boundary. But again, any kind of boundary we're talking about, whether it feels deep, whether it feels emotional, whether it feels light, I think it's really helpful to be able to identify what is it I'm trying to protect through this boundary? What is it that I'm trying to protect? Because that will help us keep it defensive and not make it offensive. So let's ask the big question. When we're talking about boundaries, did Jesus have boundaries? Are boundaries biblical? Well, I just told you, for a first glance at me, guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life, reminds me that things that are sacred need to be protected. And so yes, in short, my perspective is I do believe boundaries are biblical. I love the passage, Psalm 16:6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Behold, I have a beautiful inheritance. I think this is an incredible passage about speaking life over the boundaries that we have and encouraging the boundaries we have, even the boundaries from God, the limitations that we have. But it's really helpful to remember that Jesus himself surrendered to our human boundaries. Here's what we read in Hebrews 2. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. For he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. And so we see this even in the life of Jesus, this idea that he surrendered to human boundaries and limitations while being fully God so that he could be completely merciful to us. And that is an example of surrendering to boundaries that I am so incredibly grateful for. But also in the life of Jesus, we see more times where he lived out boundaries. So let's go all the way there. Like maybe a boundary that looked offensive, but I do believe was defensive. Jesus flipping the tables in the temple was a boundary. Him saying, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and flipping those tables, while it was expressed in a way that maybe we don't even understand, we know that he was able to experience anger and not sin, but he was setting a boundary. And again, that might look offensive, but when we know that Jesus was trying to protect the glory and the sanctity of his Father's house, we see like, oh, that is actually defensive. The amount of times that Jesus withdrew to pray was absolutely a boundary. It is actually estimated that 41 times, there are 41 times in the gospel where Jesus withdrew, said no, or drew a boundary. And I'm going to give you just four of those that I want to encourage you to look up if you're struggling to understand this concept. And just jot these down really quickly. You can look up Matthew 14, 22 through 23. You can look up Mark chapter 1, verse 35. You can look up Luke chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, or John 6, 1 through 3. So here's what's beautiful to know about Jesus is that he loved generously. That is not to be questioned. And he literally died for our sins. So through this, what we see in the life of Jesus is that you can be generous and have boundaries. You can love extravagantly and have boundaries. And here's what I would even conjecture. I don't believe that many of us can access just generous, extravagant love until we have boundaries. By nature, having boundaries is what makes sacrifice and extravagant love and audacious generosity. It's the boundary that makes it seem that way. So when we live completely unboundaried, we have no borders, we have no limits, we don't put limits on anyone else or on anything else in our lives, nothing really can be all that generous. It's just all neutral. It's just all in and out. It's just all wishy-washy. So that being said, from my perspective, I do see that Jesus had boundaries, and I also believe he loved generously, and I'm so grateful for his example to us in that. We're going to kind of transition now into talking about how to communicate boundaries and shifting into how to say no, or even why to say no, or what it looks like to say no. So here's what I've learned from my life about communicating a boundary. It's interesting, when we went to that definition of boundaries, we talked about how boundaries are something that indicates a line or a limit. And I think that it's really helpful to know that sometimes, like, drawing the line or saying like, hey, this is a boundary, is an expression of the limit that is already there. So let me give you this example. If you have to say to someone else, like, I'm sorry, I can't go out at night, my body really needs 7 or 8 hours of sleep, you're not setting a boundary. What you're doing is denoting a boundary. You're accepting and maybe even verbalizing a limit that your body has. So the most important thing that I've learned about communicating boundaries is that we actually can communicate them without words. It's one of the most powerful ways to communicate a boundary. Honestly, I think a lot of us immediately kind of knee-jerk and think like, how am I going to tell people about this boundary? But one of the best ways we can do it is just living out that limit or living out that boundary. So for example, in that example of like going to bed early, you can overly communicate and go to your people and say like, sorry, I can't go to such and such thing, I really need to sleep. Or you can just say, thank you so much for inviting me, I actually can't make it, and hold that boundary for yourself. And that's it. A lot of times, specifically around the topic of body image, I would have this conversation a lot around the launch of Breaking Free from Body Shame. And people would say, hey, how do I communicate this boundary if somebody is talking negatively about my body or about their body or about somebody else's body? And I would say, if you want to know, one of the most effective ways to communicate this boundary is to walk away. Just to walk away. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to like turn around and flip your hair in their face and stomp off, but you can just remove yourself from the conversation or change the conversation. Actually, the wildest ways to communicate a boundary that you don't talk negatively about your body is when other people are talking negatively about their body, to not say anything. And actually, the vacuum of what you're not saying will be felt very loudly. If someone's saying something to you and you don't like how it's going, you can say, oh, I'm so sorry, I have to hop off this call. You can actually communicate your boundaries without words, by going places or not going places, by saying yes or saying no, by showing up or not showing up. And oftentimes, I think that where the tension comes in is where we feel like we have to communicate our boundaries. And then if we don't have a lot of practice at that, that's actually what makes a boundary feel offensive instead of defensive. If we don't have a lot of practice at kind of kindly and compassionately communicating our boundaries, it can make it sound as if we're telling other people that their boundaries are incorrect, when really that's not our job. Our job is to hold our line, to notice where our limitations are. So that being said, one great way to communicate a boundary is without words. A second way to communicate a boundary is with gentle words. And I know that that is maybe not some of our default. Some of us are going to have a hard time using our words at all, and then some of us are going to have a hard time using them gently. But what I see in the life of Jesus is the clarity and the compassion and the humility that he often communicated his own boundaries. Of course, we're always going to flip to the flipping of the tables and say like, what about that? Jesus got angry too, but we know that in his anger, he didn't sin. And also what we have to understand is that Jesus was dealing with a pure righteous anger that most of us really can't access. Our anger usually isn't all that pure. At least mine isn't. So a great way to communicate a boundary is with gentle words, with humility, with softness. And again, I would say keeping that communication about defensiveness, what are you protecting, and absolving people from needing to have that same boundary in their life. So I might say to someone, hey, just so you know, this isn't about you. I'm not coming for you. It has nothing to do with anything you've done or anything that you've said, but this is a boundary for me. And you might see that I'm going to begin to protect it in the future. It can be hard to do this, and it also can be hard to not anticipate someone taking it the wrong way. But the truest thing I can tell you about this is that someone's reaction to your boundary, especially when you've communicated it with humility and with compassion, that is actually their business. And by reminding yourself how they respond to this is their business, that's an emotional boundary. That's setting a limit and saying, I actually am not in control of how someone perceives this, about how it makes them feel. I can't control it. And I can clearly and humbly communicate, but then I have to move forward. The last way that I would just like to kind of humbly submit to you that we can communicate a boundary is kind of a combo of gentle, humble, compassionate words with action. And there will be times in our life that we kind of need to do both, that we need to say in love, hey, this is a boundary for me, and I might make a big sweeping move to protect this tender part of my life or my heart or my body or my soul or my kids or my family or my community or my friendship, but I bless you and I send you and I hope you understand. And so again, I think it's helpful to not jump all the way there. I think a lot of times when we think about communicating boundaries, we kind of like jump all the way to this like extreme action, but we can start by doing it without words. Then we can move into gentle words, and then we can do a combo of action and words. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why we don't like saying no and why we don't like setting boundaries and how we can say no when the time is right. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, I'm assuming you like to listen to things. So I have three things for you to listen to. Number one, did you know that you can get the audio version of Tired of Being Tired that I read in my own voice? You can get it for free when you pre-order a printed copy of Tired of Being Tired. If you go to jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired, you can see where you pre-order a copy of the book and then enter your information, and I will send you the audiobook for free that you can start listening to. Now, on top of that, another free thing that you get when you pre-order one copy of Tired of Being Tired is an exclusive podcast series I created called Real Rest Now. So Real Rest Now is a 5-episode podcast series that I recorded with some incredible women who are just amazing leaders. And honestly, they kind of span through all walks of life. And I really just asked them, what does real rest look like for you? Where are you the most fatigued? What's working for you? And I think you're going to love hearing from some other women about what rest actually looks like for them. So again, if you pre-order one copy of Tired of Being Tired, you can get the audiobook for free. I read it for you. And you can get Real Rest Now, the exclusive podcast series. Head to jessconnolly.com/tired of being tired or see the link in the show notes, and you can get both of those for free. Let's go. All right, we're back. Let's talk about why we don't like saying no and we don't like setting boundaries. I've got a few. You might have your own, but this is why I don't like saying no and I don't like setting boundaries. Let me give it to you straight. Number one, I don't want to disappoint people. I like people. I like people to think that I'm loving. I like people to think that I'm available. I like people to think that I can handle a lot. I like people to think that I'm strong. I like people to think that I'm kind. I like people to think all of these things about me. Here is the bad news. Galatians 1:10 is a calling up for those of us who struggle with people pleasing. And Paul says it very explicitly. You cannot try to please men and try to please God. You just can't. And so I think we have to call people pleasing, even when it comes to saying no and setting boundaries, we have to call it what it is. It's idol worship. And we know what to do with idol worship. 2 Corinthians 10 reminds us that we have the power to demolish strongholds, to tear down every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, which is what an idol is. And so we have to notice this tendency in our heart and say, do we want to live like this? A new question I keep kind of asking myself is, am I going to worship these people? Or am I going to worship God for eternity? If I don't want to disappoint my friend Sharon, am I going to be singing Sharon's praises for eternity? Or is it going to be God? Do I want to obey God or do I want to obey Sharon? I only have one friend named Sharon and she would never struggle with me setting boundaries. So I just want to say that. I just picked that name out of nowhere. We don't want to disappoint people. We do want to please people. But ultimately, that's idol worship. I think that another reason we don't like saying no or setting boundaries is because we don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out on the fun that might be had by living past our own limitations and boundaries and borders. We want to be a part of everything. We want to be people who don't have limits and don't have boundaries. And friends, I'm sorry to speak so plainly, but this is my thing. I've learned not to play nice with sin. The fear of missing out may not seem sinister, but at its root, what we often find is a deficit of gratitude in our own lives. The fear of missing out is a struggle, honestly, with contentment that needs to be confessed and repented of, not treated as if it's a normal label to write over our lives. Gratitude says, I'm thankful for what I have right here. And generosity says, I'm thankful for what you have over there. So will we still occasionally feel the pain of missing out? Absolutely. But should we change our availability or run past our own boundaries and limitations because of it? Let's don't. If you find yourself constantly saying yes because of the fear of missing out, please say no in Jesus' name. Okay, here's another one. I think that a lot of us don't like to say no because we ask this question, if I don't, who will? If I don't do it, who will? So we ignore our boundaries and our borders and we say yes to everything because we just think, if I don't, who will? So as a result of this, we feel responsible and on the hook for the people that we love and the people we want to show up for. And honestly, this tension is so real, but it's really still a great moment to check in where our faith and beliefs are rooted. So if I don't get the report done, who will? If I don't do the laundry, who will? If I don't volunteer to be the classroom mom, who will? If I don't lead that meeting, who will? And what's behind this is that sometimes we're so confident that we're the only ones who can be trusted that we forget that we can trust God and other people can trust God. I think a lot of times we're saying, if I don't, who will? And so we're not saying no and we're not setting boundaries. But because of that, we're honestly robbing other people from the blessing of saying yes. We're continually saying, I have to be the one to do this. And because of that, other people aren't able to step up and use their God-given gifts or use what God has given them in the places where it might be actually more life-giving for them to do so. Here's the last reason I think that we don't like saying no and we don't like setting boundaries. And I just have a massive, I hope you hear a lot of compassion in my voice when I talk about this. I have just a massive heart for women and specifically women alive in 2024. No one taught us differently. No one taught us that we could have boundaries and that we could have borders. The thing is, we're getting so much wiser in so many ways as a society. And here's an example. One of my favorite shifts that we've made as a whole is that in most communities, it's no longer acceptable to make your kids hug or receive hugs from strangers. Here's my thing. When I feel safe with you, I am 100% touchy-feely. But when I don't feel secure emotionally or mentally or physically, it's a hard no for me. Like, I don't want a finger laid on me. But when I was growing up in the 80s, like probably so many of you guys, community and culture wasn't that evolved about the physical boundaries of kids. Nobody was. And I remember feeling uncomfortable with the expectation that any adult who wanted to hug me or any adult who wanted me to smile, that I would have to reciprocate that. I would have to do what they expected of me. And so as you can imagine, and many of you are probably passionate about, I think there's a myriad of reasons why it's really important that we give kids the security to choose who can touch them, who can hug them. But the most basic is this. It teaches kids from the very beginning that boundaries, especially physical ones, are healthy to establish and to keep. But for many of us who are adults right now, again, in 2024, nobody taught us this. And so now we live in a culture where it's increasingly more acceptable to respect boundaries, but we still have some work to undo because of like what we grew up in and what we were told and what we were taught. That's one reason why I'm just so grateful for God's word and for Jesus's honoring of his own physical limitations. Like, for example, when he slept on the boat, like he was tired, he fell asleep. One translation of that passage where he falls asleep on the boat and the disciples are so scared says that he actually has a cushion. Like Jesus came on the boat with a cushion because he was like, I'm taking a nap. I love that. I love that Jesus honored his own physical boundaries and borders while showing us that he could move past them in generosity and extravagant love. And so, I don't know, I have so much compassion and so much grace for those of us who struggle with this, because I don't think it means we're weak. I don't think it means that we're not somehow strong or good leaders, or that there's something inherently wrong with us. I just think a lot of us grew up in a time where the people who were leading us were doing the best they could with what they had, and no one was teaching them, like, hey, this is important. Kids should have autonomy. And specifically, I would say for a lot of us women, this gets even messier with marriage and motherhood and all kinds of beautiful and mysterious passages about one flesh. I love how even when Paul talks about the theology of one flesh, he calls it a mystery in Ephesians 5, because it is. It's wild. It's wild that we can become one flesh and still maintain our individual spiritual and physical autonomy. And it's wild that in the miracle of motherhood, we get the honor of using our bodies to nurture others. But that role can still kind of blur some of the lines about where we begin and about where our children end. Just as a reminder, we're still right now, as women, so often being praised for pushing past our physical limitations. And we're labeled as strong when we ignore our own physical needs. But one question that I constantly come back to is that how God would talk to me? Would he say, like, Jess, I'm so proud of you that you pretended like you weren't a person just then? Or would he say, like, hey, just so you know, my expectation of you is that you forget that you're hungry or tired or sad or scared and just do what everybody else expects of you? I don't think he would talk to me like that. So that being said, those are some reasons we don't like saying no and we don't like setting boundaries. Now let's talk about how we should say no. I've got three just really kind of broad sweeping ideas that I think will help you. But just so you know, in Tired of Being Tired, I offer multiple scripts of exact ways to kind of flesh out ways to say no and ways to set boundaries, literal words that you can take word for word and text out in a message or type in an email or memorize and say on the spot. And as a reminder that if you pre-order Tired of Being Tired, you get the audiobook for free, you get our Sabbath guide for free, you get Real Rest Now, our exclusive podcast series for free. But that being said, let's talk about how we should say no. So the first how behind saying no, at least for me, is bravely. I want to acknowledge that it's going to take bravery and it's going to take courage because it's scary. So if you're like, I don't want to say no, or I don't want to set a boundary because I'm scared, here's your reminder that the beginning of courage is fear. You can't actually be courageous. You can't actually be brave until you're scared. And so bravely, I want to submit that when we say no, even when it's scary, or when we set a boundary, even when it's terrifying, we're also doing it as leaders. We're doing it so that the women who come after us are going to have a slightly easier time in setting that boundary as well and saying no, or even the women who are currently around us, that it'll become a little more normalized for women to acknowledge their own boundaries and borders. Here is a big one. Here's another huge one that is a very hard habit to break. When you say no, I want to encourage you to do it without apologizing. It's a very hard habit to break to not put the words like sorry or oh my gosh, my bad in your mouth when you are saying no to something. So let me tell you the difference in this and how it sounds. Let's say a friend asks you to go out late one night. And again, you've acknowledged, hey, I have this limitation. I need this many hours of sleep. I have an early meeting the next day. So one way you could handle this is be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so lame, but I get so tired if I don't get enough sleep. And I really wish I could be there, but gosh, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Totally seemingly normal way to say that. The problem is you've just apologized for something that is a sin. And you have just communicated not only to yourself, but also to that person talking, that there is something inherently wrong with you having a boundary of needing sleep. And now you are internalizing that, but also she's internalizing that. So a different way to say that would be, hey, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm not going to be able to make it. Or even if you want to go into more explanation, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful you asked me. I am really trying to work on my sleep lately, and I'm going to try to get to bed early because I've got an early meeting tomorrow. I would love for you to ask me next time. a little more explanation, but at no point have you denoted that it's wrong for you to have this boundary or it's wrong for you to say no. This is so difficult, but it really can be a massive culture shifter when we change this language. Here's a last how to saying no. And this one is really hard for me. I want to encourage you to say no without hyper-spiritualizing it. You don't have to say like, I'm just praying about it and in this season and I really feel like God is telling me. If it's a no, it's totally okay for you to just say no. If it is spiritual, go for it, especially if you're talking to me. I want to hear the spiritual sides of it. But if it's just an easy no, if it's just a normal boundary, I think a lot of times as believers, and I think, again, we're kind of inherently taught this, like it makes a lot more sense if we say like, you know what, let me pray about it. Or the thing is, I was praying about it and I feel like if we know it's a no, we can just say like, wow, thank you so much. I'm unable to do that. That's okay. That's acceptable. Amen. Okay. We called this podcast episode Saying No, Setting Boundaries, and Staying Soft. So how in the name of Jesus do we keep our hearts soft while we set boundaries and while we say no? This is honestly the easiest part of the podcast and the part that I'm most excited to tell you. The way that we keep our hearts soft, the way that we keep them tender to God, the way that we keep them tender to other people is by saying no and setting boundaries. Brené Brown is the one who said that the most boundary people are often the most compassionate people. And I have found this to be true over and over and over again in my life. I'll even go this far to say that when I notice that I'm actually like getting defensive with people, or I'm being like, oh, must be nice that that goes well for them. Or when I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, they always ask me for so much. It's actually because I've stopped setting boundaries. I've stopped paying attention to my own limitations or my own needs. And because of that, I'm actually feeling kind of like bitter and doubtful and dubious. And so I just want to encourage you that not only is it possible to keep your heart soft and be a woman who sets boundaries and says no and honors the limitations that God has given her and that she has noticed in her own life, but I would actually conjecture that it is almost impossible to have a soft heart if you don't do those things. I'm going to pray for us. I want to encourage you that there is so much more about this and Tired of Being Tired. If this episode has blessed you, you've got to get the book and you've got to get the audiobook. But for now, let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you let us see you honor your own limitations and boundaries through the life of Jesus. I thank you that you let us see extravagant and generous love and just outrageous grace. And we want to be women who can do both. We want to be women who look down at our feet and say, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And we also want to be women who cross those boundaries when the time is right to go above and beyond to love and serve and help other people. So Holy Spirit, we just ask for insight. We ask that you would give us clarity about our own lives, about it, what it would look like to honor our boundaries, to communicate them well, to say no and to say yes when the time is right. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for leading us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.